because I am joined all the way over from Ireland, Dublin, by Robert of the Crayon Set. Now, I've been playing out their release Sun Lounger since its release. It's a beautiful track, and they've been together for 10 years with three albums out there for you to listen to, and the latest album is called A Downer Disco, and that is out now. So good morning, Robert. Nice to speak to you.
Hey, Michelle. How's it going?
It's going well. What part of Dublin are you in?
I'm kind of in the city centre. I don't know how well you know Dublin. I'm kind of near the Phoenix Park, so on the north side.
Yep.
But fairly central, so I can walk into town fairly handily, like a 20-minute walk.
Tell us about your role in the band and tell us about the other members of the band.
The band has been around for ages, so I've kind of kept it going through different kind of lineup changes through the years. So the band's been around for about 12 years, and as you say, we've three albums released, and the lineup has kind of developed and kind of people have come and gone over the years. At the moment, it's fairly stable. Kate Dineen is the other singer in the band, Phil on drums. George plays bass. He's been there pretty much from the start as well. And Finn plays lead guitar. So yeah, I usually kind of bring the songs in and we kind of, kind of jam them out. Everybody kind of does their own thing then with the songs.
Are you actually on stage if you do gigs, or are you more sort of like writing the songs and in the background doing production?
Yeah, no, we do gigs. So, we've always enjoyed playing out live. Ireland is quite small, so it's kind of limited as to how many gigs you can do in a year, because if you've played a venue, let's say in whatever, say April, they don't want you back again for another year because it's only a small country. It isn't like the UK where you can kind of, there's just more of a, more of a music scene. Ireland has a music scene, but I guess it's just quite small in terms of scale, you know?
Yeah.
But we've always enjoyed playing gigs and festivals.
And how would you describe your music? It's probably a difficult one.
I think it's pop songs, but I guess it's kind of indie as well. So the idea with the band from the start, like with the band name, was that we could kind of do different things in terms of, you know, the crayon idea was like, you know, different colours and different kind of things. So it could evolve as opposed to being kind of one thing, and it's kind of worked as well with different people kind of like coming into the band and that kind of thing. They've kind of brought their influences and their interests to the band as well, so it's kind of evolved, but definitely kind of I enjoy pop songs, I enjoy kind of melodies, but that is a kind of evolved, so keep going.
You answered my question. I was going to say why you called the Crayon Set, but you explained it very, very well, which is good. So songwriting process, you were saying that you jam. Are you somebody that maybe, I don't know, do you play piano, guitar? Do you get melodies in your head? Does Kate get melodies? Or do you sit and kind of just say, I've got this idea, and you jam it as a collective? Or is it different every time?
It can be different. Generally, I'll bring a song in. So it's kind of, I'm kind of obsessed with songwriting. So it's kind of my main thing, to be honest. So I'm not a brilliant musician, so I play guitar, I can play a little bit of piano. I'm getting better at kind of, you know, the DAWs and software side of things in terms of, you know, having a drum loop. And so it's kind of, I guess, different ways, but I guess it's always kind of based on kind of a catchy song and if it's trying to get enough kind of interesting things. So once I've got it to a state where I'm happy with it, I'll then bring it to the band, and it can kind of stay the same or it can become quite different. So I'm kind of, it's good to stay open as to the possibilities, because just because it's written in one style, it doesn't have to mean it can stay in that style. So the last album, for example, we used a producer called, his name is Stephen Shannon, and he's more kind of electronic producer. So a lot of the songs kind of ended up being more kind of synthy than they were originally, which worked really well. So it's good to have an open mind on the kind of direction.
Talking about an open mind, do you ever feel when you're songwriting that certain songs come through you from the universe and you're a bit sort of taken aback by how quickly they go onto the page, or does that not happen?
Yeah, and it's usually the best songs. Like I'm currently working on one now which kind of wrote itself. It's great when that happens, because sometimes you can kind of slave over songs and they don't want to get finished, they aren't coming together. All the parts are there, but it's not really working for some reason, and you can't really put your finger on it. But the ones which, it's great fun when a song arrives and it kind of, you kind of enjoy the process of, you know, the wordplay and just messing around with it. Other songs can just be hard work, and sometimes it can be worth persevering with, or maybe somebody else can bring something else to it. Yeah, sometimes they kind of arrive and you go, kind of, how does that happen kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Or sometimes as well, it can be about nothing, then, you know, a year later, you'll kind of realize the song was about something. it's happened a few times where you go, okay, I didn't even know I was writing about that.
Yeah.
And then you look back at it and go, oh, wow, that's actually about something that was going on in my life or somebody else, somebody I knew or something. So, yeah, they're funny that way.
Tell us about Sun Lounger. How did that track come to be?
It's a French film called La Piscina. I'd seen that years ago, and I was just kind of, I think I just had the melody, and I was just, I liked the idea of the Sun Lounger thing. We're just kind of just lying down, relaxing, totally chilled out. And the fact that the wordplay there as well, you're lounging in the sun, but you're also on a sun lounger. So that was kind of, I think, this was clever in my head. And then it was just those kind of images of just being really kind of, you know, a foreign holiday, you know, it's, you know, you're kind of chilling out by the pool and just playing around with that. Yeah, it was just kind of, yeah, again, a very easy song to write. It was just, it kind of wrote itself.
And as you said, it does take you to that being away, because when I put it on, the weather here, I know what the weather's like in Dublin because I lived there for long enough. I think I had one sunny day in the whole 3 years I was there. But here, it's very overcast. But when you put that song on, you could be somewhere else, because you can kind of, you know, shut your eyes and you could be on the sun lounger. That's what's so good about it. It actually takes you somewhere.
Cool. I was going to change it to a rain lounger. It's literally jinxed the weather here. I mean, it's been nonstop rain for the past 3 weeks. That's funny as well, because like I was saying, that film, like Jane Birkin passed away as well at the weekend, yeah. And the video uses some footage from the films. It's kind of jinxed everything, you know. Yeah, the weather hasn't been kind to the song, but otherwise, yeah, can't complain.
There were a few sunny days, but I was working so hard, I don't remember. That's what I'm going to say. So the album Down at Disco, tell us about some of the tracks on the album. And did you actually produce this? Is this produced by the band or is this by somebody else?
It came out about a year and a half ago. So this song isn't actually on the album.
Right.
We've released another single since then as well called Love is a Real Place in the autumn. And we have one more single coming up September, October time called Elvis is Alive.
Oh,
so they're kind of all written and recorded at the same time. We kind of did it ourselves. Another batch of songs written as well. So hopefully we'll kind of get together and do some recording in the autumn. Some of the lads in the band have other kind of real life stuff going on. So we haven't been as active as we'd like to be, but hopefully we'll get back together soon.
And you do have great reviews. I mean, I've read some of them. I haven't got them noted here, but you've got a lot of support and a lot of radio stations love what you're doing as well. So that must be, for an independent artist, must be something to boost you.
Yeah, no, for sure, because it's, as you know yourself, Michelle, it's a lot of work kind of put in, and a lot of bands kind of out there, you know, all looking for the same thing. So there's only so many songs, you know, DJs can play or you know, blogs can cover. So yeah, we're very thankful, but it's just, you know, you always kind of want more as well, you know. It's kind of like, you know, you put a lot of work into it, so it's good to get some payback in terms of, you know, a bit of recognition or a radio play or whatever.
Are you producing as a band, or is that mainly been left up to you to sort of produce everything? And if it has, how difficult is it as a producer to just stop, to leave a song alone rather than to keep going, oh, just go in and just change a little bit there?
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. I guess I've always gotten good producers in the past. You kind of learn stuff. And I think if you're the songwriter, generally you have to have the final say in terms of, you have to be happy with it. I mean, if you've written the song, I think. So sometimes you can have too many cooks kind of wanting, you know, you can't have everything in the song. So you got to kind of make a, be a bit kind of cutthroat. I think sometimes, yeah, you know, if you listen to some, you know, classic tracks like, you know, the Beatles or the Stones, whatever, I mean, they only have often, like, you know, basics there, drums, guitar, bass. It sounds amazing. It sounds big. So definitely sometimes, you know, less is more. And it's something I think I've learned over the years. I think our first album was too busy. I was trying to just, there's melodies everywhere, there's harmonies and everything. So you kind of learn as you go on, you know, what works and what doesn't work.
I'm going to drop this question into you, which you might be able to answer straight away, or you might not. I should have given you a warning. What do you think is the best lyric that you've ever written, that you wrote it down, you went, that's really good, that is really, really good? Because I think every songwriter has that moment where they go, oh my god, I just wrote that, that's incredible. So what song is it from, and what lyric?
I'm trying to think of an actual line. There's a song I wrote years ago on the first album, it's called Eurodisco. I was really proud of that one, because it was kind of the first song, again, it kind of wrote itself, and it was the first song where I went, okay, wow, I can do this. It isn't, you know, something, you know, other people can do. I can actually write a good song. If you kind of hang around long enough and write enough songs, good ones tend to show up. But I'm trying to think of an actual lyric off it.
See, I've stopped you there. I should have told you this before. I normally give a musician a fair warning.
Anything I say now will just sound terrible. But yeah, I'll have to come back. Sorry.
It's always the same thing. Go on, play a song. What song are you going to play? And you go, I don't know. It always catches musicians out. I was going to say, what's coming up for you? You were saying, like, gig-wise, you're kind of not doing going to be doing too much because it's obviously Dublin's quite a small place, blah, blah, blah. You thought about coming over to the UK maybe next year. Are you going to release an album next year with the tracks you've got already?
We'd love to. Again, it's kind of finances and just having a big enough kind of audience there. I'm not sure we do. So we're releasing a remix of Sun Lounger. That'll be out in a week or two. It's very different because it's more kind of a house track, really, but it works in different ways. So it'll be interesting to see who plays it, because I think people who are playing Sun Lounger, it's probably more indie and kind of chilled pop, where this is quite a bit of a banger. So it'll be interesting to see if other stations play it or who plays it. So we have that coming up, and we have another song called Elvis Is Alive coming out in the autumn.
Yeah.
We'll try. I mean, I would definitely love to come over there. So it's just a case of just getting to work kind of financially, really, I think.
And for people out there, I always asked independent musicians, how difficult is it for an independent musician, and what can people do to support independent music?
Yeah, I think the main thing is you kind of have to enjoy it. I think the idea of, like, I think when you're a kid, you think, oh, you're kind of rich and famous, that kind of thing. That's not really how it works in the real world, unless you're very lucky or you're supremely talented or both. But I think to support, I think just go to gigs. I think buying the merch definitely helps. You hear a lot of these stories, even where bigger artists aren't really making money and they're really struggling. So I think Ireland has got better in terms of the government are doing a bit more to support independent artists. We got a grant there during the pandemic to promote our album and stuff. So yeah, I think the best way to support really is to go to gigs, and I think if they have merch or vinyl, whatever, just do what you can. But yeah, I think it's a labour of love as opposed to kind of a get rich quick scheme, you know.
Yeah, all the musicians I know do it for the love of the music. That's mainly. And you can also find lots of music on Bandcamp as well. And you can download tracks from about 79 pence to 99 pence. So it is relatively inexpensive. And even commenting on somebody's socials as well, or liking their socials, that's completely free. And getting a message from somebody you don't know, Robert, that you've got friends and family that say, love what you're doing. But when you get somebody called David that's over in Australia, goes, I love what you're doing, you go, like, oh, wow, it's amazing. Somebody's heard it over there.
Well, that's the power as well. That's the beauty. It's kind of good and bad in terms of the internet, because the bad is obviously there's just so much out there in terms of content. But the good is, yeah, you find little pockets of people around the world who are into it. I mean, there's this radio station in South America. I think it was Peru or somewhere. There was a few that kept playing our song. It was kind of bizarre that we had, this kind of little audience out there, So it's interesting. But it's a labor of love, I would say.